This tape is a production of All Roads Ministries. Its title is The Protestant View of Truth, and it deals with the subject matter of truth from a Protestant point of view. As All Roads Ministries is not a pro-Protestant organization, the Protestant view of truth will establish that truth cannot sustain or support the basic Protestant belief systems or justify the claim of the Protestant to be in the main line. A reasonable person listening to this tape will concede offhand and requiring no proof that truth cannot be self-contradictory. If you want scripture for this, it is Jesus who says that a house divided against itself cannot stand. And I take it as axiomatic that, therefore, if the Protestant position dealing with truth is self-contradictory, then the Protestant position on truth must be false. And I take it also as axiomatic that truth is quite central to Christianity. Again, if one requires scripture for this, understand that Jesus identified himself as truth, the way, and the life. Also, while he stood before Pilate, according to the Gospel of St. John, he stated that his purpose in life was to bear witness to the truth, and that everyone committed to the truth will hear his voice. If we define a Christian as one who hears Jesus, then a Christian must be one who is committed to the truth. And if truth has no central role, then Jesus, making an identification with himself as truth, has no central role in that system. Therefore, if it can be shown, and as it will be shown in this tape, that Protestantism cannot claim to have as a central core a respect for, an admiration, or possession of truth, then any reasonable person must, therefore, be compelled to admit that Protestantism's claim to be part of Christianity is false. When I use the word Protestantism or Protestant in this tape, I am referring to that group of denomination, churches, or assemblies which claim to be part of Christianity but cannot be considered and do not identify themselves as part of the Roman Catholic or Church or the Orthodox communions. Protestantism, it defines itself primarily negatively, that is, by rejecting what it is not. It is not an affirmative definition of a group of people. This is primarily done because Protestants do not agree with each other on basic doctrines, nor do they agree within their own denominations, as their doctrines change from time to time, depending on financial advantage, cultural pressure, or political influence. So in other words, what applies what you understand as applying in this tape to all Protestant groups may in fact not apply to every single Protestant group, nor will it apply to even an individual Protestant group at different times of its history. However, a generalization may be made as to all Protestant denominations, groups, assemblies, cults, and sects. That is, in the distinctly Protestant areas, that is, the areas which make them Protestant as opposed to Roman Catholic or Greek Orthodox, they are distinctly wrong, self-evidently wrong, and demonstratively wrong. Now, I make a suggestion to the listener as far as a suggestion on how to use this tape. If any disagreement arises in your mind, if you do not fully accept each position as we are going along, I suggest strongly that at that point you stop the tape, replay it if necessary, and reason through until you have come to understand what I'm saying as true. These tapes are not to be taken lightly, nor are they to be admired as mere rhetorical niceties or an example of a good argumentative technique. What we are dealing with here is basic values, and if you claim to be a Christian, something which may very well influence your salvation or even determine your salvation. After all, a Christian must confront truth, embrace it, advance it, defend it, and know it. These tapes are designed to bring people to truth by destroying their errors so that they will no longer be able to hold on to those errors and will now seek truth. The approach in this particular tape will be analytical as opposed to comparative. That is to say, the Protestant views will not be compared to other organizational views or other denominational views or other tenets of faith. Instead, the approach will be analytical. In other words, the Protestant view will show it to be self-contradictory and therefore false, anti-scriptural and therefore false, opposing known truths and therefore false, or opposing known universally accepted principles of truthful inquiry and therefore false. With this in mind, let us proceed to the tape itself proper. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Jesus said, "The Holy Spirit will lead you to all truth." Christianity does not exist without truth. Truth is core to it and essential to its nature. That characteristic of God, which makes things real, is what we are using as a definition of truth. Truth is that characteristic which makes a fact different from an opinion, which makes history different from legend or myth or folklore. It is unchanging and unchangeable. It is not relative. It is absolute. It is knowable by man, sometimes fully knowable, sometimes only knowable in part. It is that characteristic which rightly orders cause and effect. It is contained in science, in history, in philosophy, in theology, when rightly understood by man. God speaks truth and reveals truth to man. God cannot reveal an untruth. The only possibility, the only self-contradiction that God has is to say, speak, or reveal, or do an untruth. A few further comments are appropriate here. Number one, how we learn truth, arriving at that state of knowledge, is not the subject of this tape. However, there are other tapes which deal with this subject, mainly the tape on knowledge and the tape on logic. I suggest you obtain them if you have any difficulties in this area. Number two, dealing with the concept of known things or knowable things. Because something can be known does not mean to say it is known at the time. Also, to deal with truth in normal human conversation, writing, or inquiry, it is very important that clearly defined terms be used. Otherwise, the words may not carry the proper meaning and truth may not be properly determined. Dealing with it in the religious area, without truth or without truthful basis, faith is reduced from a theological virtue to a mere bigoted whim or a selfish desire for a specific position. It is very important that one understand the difference between faith and truth. A simple example will suffice. If one says, "I believe that Jesus was the Son of God, walked on the earth, was born of a virgin, and died on the cross, later rising from the dead," what I have stated is what I believe. That statement may be true without Jesus having ever done any of those things. In other words, it may be true that I believe that he did, but I have stated nothing about Jesus, only about my belief. It is very important to understand the distinction here. To say, "I believe this," or "I hold that," or "I trust this," or "I defend that," is to express an emotional evaluation, a subjective determination. To say instead, "Jesus walked the earth, was born of a virgin, was the Son of God, died on the cross, and rose again after 3 days in the tomb," that is a statement which must be accepted as fact or rejected as false. And it has nothing to do with whether anybody accepts it as part of a belief system. This is very important to understand, the distinction between a subjective statement of belief and an objective statement of fact. All objective statements ultimately can be verified. And again, this deals with concepts of a posteriori and a priori knowledge, and I suggest you obtain the tape dealing with Immanuel Kant's philosophy if you are not familiar with these terms and how they would deal with Protestant and Christian concepts. Allow me again to emphasize a key point here. As I've stated before, and let me briefly reiterate it and illustrate it a little further, if a statement is fabricated or stated in this fashion, "I believe that Jesus was God and man," that statement may be false, and yet Jesus may be God and man. In other words, the person who says it may be in fact lying about his belief, and Jesus may yet be God or man. So any statement which contains as its basic part a belief statement, that is, "I believe," "I hold," "I advance," "I think," "I conclude," all of these statements deal only with the mental or emotional processes of the person involved and are not presented as statements of fact as to the subject other than the person's processes. The subject, if it is a third person, such as Jesus, or an event, such as an event in history, may or may not be correct, but the statement does not even advance this statement, this object, this person, or this event, as an objective reality. The only thing we're dealing with in a case like that is subjectivity. And again, in that case, the person is only making a statement about himself, not about anything beyond him. Once again, it is essential for you to understand this distinction. Protestantism states, as one of its basic tenets, that the nature of man was destroyed by Adam's sin. Man now is incapable of doing anything good, except by special grace of God. But even then, he is not capable of doing good unless God impels him to do so. His will, his mind, everything is corrupt, depraved, destroyed. He is no longer the creature he was in the Garden of Eden, no longer the creature he was when God created him. Man is not restored by this free gift of grace from God, but he is imputed to be restored. That is, righteousness is imputed upon him. This is a basic Protestant tenet, and if you're a Protestant, I'm sure you've heard it many times. Man is unable to fully and properly function despite being born again or being saved or given this grace. His corrupt nature is not changed or transformed by this grace, but it is covered over, ignored, forgiven, and forgotten by a loving, merciful God. Protestantism therefore holds that all men are, as such, corrupt in their views, in their desires, in their functionings, in their mind, in their heart, in their spirits, in their very nature. And it is a merciful God who overlooks all of this, because God is either unwilling or unable to make the transformation to make man the way he was, that is, to restore him. I deal with this further in The God of the Protestants, and I suggest that you deal with this issue there, and I will not deal with it further at this point. But there are several problems with this basic Protestant tenet, and of course it reflects directly on truth. Because basically, if man's mind is not functioning correctly, then he cannot know truth by any of the normal ways of determining truth. Or at least he cannot know truth except by direct inspiration and revelation of God. Since his mind does not function correctly, he cannot use the normal academic approaches such as logic, reason, philosophy, experience, science, because all of these must be filtered through his mind. If his mind is depraved, therefore only choice left is direct inspiration of God. And I deal with this issue further in the tape, Born Again and the Alleged Activity of the Holy Spirit. The problems that arise, number one is, how can a Protestant hold a particular view if he claims that no view can be known by man because of the corrupt nature of man? Well, again, the only way out of this is that one can say that God revealed this to him. But, of course, many Protestants believe this, having had it handed down to them historically in theology classes, Sunday schools, basic catechism classes, etc. In other words, God has not revealed this, but another corrupt man has, who believed another corrupt man, who believed another corrupt man, who believed another corrupt man. Not every Protestant claims that at day A in year B, God came down and revealed this fact to him. It is simply accepted as a fact, somehow being handed down historically, somehow having been reasoned to by people who read Scripture. And yet at the same time, Protestants say that this cannot be done. Man cannot determine truth that way. Number two, the basic problem is this. Another basic problem dealing with the truth in Protestantism is that what Protestantism basically says is that truth does not matter. After all, unless a Protestant denomination is to claim that they have a monopoly on truth and everybody else is wrong, and to my knowledge, except for a few fringe elements, no Protestant denomination claims this. Of course, no Protestant denomination can claim this, as every Protestant denomination has changed its major and minor doctrines from time to time, from place to place, from pastor to pastor, congregation to congregation, and location to location. So therefore, no Protestant denomination claims to have a monopoly on truth, or even to have spoken the truth, or even to have revealed the truth to its members. What we have is the following situation. Faith cannot exist without truth, because if truth does not exist before faith is established, then faith is nothing but whims, wishes, and desires. If that is enough to save man, then truth has no place in Christianity and has no place in salvation. and therefore truth does not matter to Christianity, because Christianity, if nothing else, is a faith, a series of statements that are true and a series of statements that must be rejected as false. In other words, Christianity, as I stated before, has as its core truth, has as its core rejection of falsity. If one cannot determine truth by one's basic tenet of faith, or if it doesn't matter because faith changes from time to time, place to place, denomination to denomination, then truth does not matter. And is it not a basic tenet of all Protestant denominations that all other Protestant denominations are equal in Christianity? In the say that every member of every denomination is somehow just as good a Christian, at least as far as his faith goes, as every other. If that is true, then it doesn't matter what one believes. And if it doesn't matter what one believes, then what one is saying is it doesn't matter what is true and what is false. And once again, if Jesus claims he is the truth, then what we have is a situation where Jesus cannot be central to that form of Christianity which Protestantism practices. Next, this makes truth relative. In other words, what this brings about is a concept of what I have revealed to me is one thing, what you have revealed to you by God is another thing. And since, as we all know, Protestants do in fact disagree with each other on many, many issues, including some of the most basic, and do claim to either have used their own brain to come to the reasoning conclusion on why they hold this position and reject the next, or they claim the personal inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, they must come to one of two conclusions. Either God is misleading certain people, which of course would imply that the other guy is not as good a Christian as this Protestant is, but of course Protestants will not accept that. Or the other choice in this case is that somehow they can use their mind to come to a reasonable conclusion and the other person is not reasoning correctly. But since a basic Protestant tenet is that the mind is corrupt, depraved, and no longer functioning correctly, they must come to the conclusion, therefore, that truth is relative. In other words, what is true for denomination or person A may be false for denomination or person B, and it really doesn't matter. This is shown most clearly by the Protestants' views of certain Catholic tenets, that is, Roman Catholic tenets. The Catholic tenets on the Eucharist, papal infallibility, the Marian doctrines, and the sacraments are uncompromisable. Yet Protestants will say, usually with a certain cavalierness, that Catholics certainly can be saved if they accept Jesus as their Savior. And from a Protestant point of view, the Catholic adoration which takes place at the Mass and during Eucharistic devotions must be considered a gross, crude, horrible form of blasphemy and idolatry. Yet Protestants do not consider this enough to keep a Catholic away from being a true Christian, because the Protestant is saying it really doesn't matter what you believe, what you say, what you think, what you hold as truth, because truth is not important. It doesn't really matter. Another problem, of course, is, as I've stated, if you look at the history of any Protestant denomination or even study one contemporaneously with today, one will find that usually when a pastor changes or a president changes or a bishop changes, that doctrines change, and not just minor doctrines, but significant doctrines, such as the role of the women in the ministry, such as the roles of salvation, such as the gifts of the Holy Spirit, such as the basic view of Scripture, sometimes even the translations and the authorized versions of Scripture. What this means is, if the faith which had been taught before is based on truth and is now changed, means that truth changes, but that's self-contradictory. If it means that the faith before and the faith now, whichever version, it doesn't matter because it's changed, was not based on truth, then it means truth doesn't matter. Either way, the Protestant is caught in a strange dilemma. Number one, his denomination taught error before and therefore has no validity, no claim to be trusted or trustworthy now. Or truth has no place in his faith system because it has no basis, it has no underpinning of the doctrines of which he believes. Once again, it is a self-contradictory situation. The analysis leads to clear rejection. Let us deal a little further with these problems, dealing with other basic Protestant tenets. Number one, the right of private interpretation, the right of freedom of conscience, of liberty, to do what one believes and do as one believes and to believe what one wishes to believe, based on one's own private interpretation of Scripture. By definition, the word private means subjective. Subjective things cannot be objective realities. Objective realities only are true. Subjective evaluations, as stated before in the earlier part of this tape, can only express the emotional evaluation of the person involved. If the Protestants hold, and they do, at least formally, the concepts of private interpretation, the concept of each man reaching God as he chooses, the concept of each man finding his own way, the concept of the universal priesthood, the concept of the equality of all believers, the concept of the denial of the hierarchy, the concept of the denial of the mysteries of faith being revealed to some so that they will teach and transmit those truths to all, and Protestants deny all these things, then what we have is a total denial of objective truth, universally available, universally assentable, and universally understood by all Christians. Since this is a basic Protestant tenet, once again, what we have is a situation where truth does not matter. Although it is not always a characteristic of Protestantism, either historically or contemporaneously, to be tolerant of people who do not believe the same way Protestants do, at least formally and officially, Protestants are tolerant of what others believe. That is to say, within their own denominations, they allow a great deal of leeway on the most basic issues. It is very hard in a Protestant denomination to have a so-called heresy trial. It is almost impossible in a Protestant denomination to determine what heresy is. After all, each person can always fall back on that basic concept of private interpretation. This is how I see it. This is how I feel. Or, as one wants to put it that way, this is what I believe. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. That's sort of a paraphrase, of course, from the famous and fictitious statement that Martin Luther supposedly said. If these things are allowed, and Protestants, of course, are required to allow them, then what is really tolerance is an indifference to truth. Because after all, if one tolerates all opinion, all statements, all views, all tenets of faith, then what one is saying is nothing is more valuable than another, nothing is more true than another. Truth cannot be obtained, and truth does not matter. Once again, this cannot be held by Christians, but it has to be held by Protestants. If it has not been established enough, let me establish now that Protestants do not, in fact, hold to their basic views on truth. In other words, although they deny formally that truth can be known, they do, in fact, raise their children, usually, with absolute standards, although they say absolute standards cannot be known, because if such truth could be known, then they could be determined, then truth would be important, and rejections would have to be made within their own denominations on certain tenets of faith and certain positions of morality. They do, in fact, agree on how to raise children. They do, in fact, certainly, when it comes to dealing with simple mathematical procedures, know truth absolutely. After all, no Protestant will accept the wrong amount of money when he's cashing his paycheck at the bank. He does not, at that point, say to the teller or to the bank manager, well, everyone has a right of private interpretation of how much two and two equals, as we have the same right of private interpretation of what God means or what God says. No, then he becomes an absolutist. Then he becomes absolutely clear. Now, let me sort of summarize and conclude here. What the Protestant has said is that truth is not knowable, but in his daily life, he certainly does function on the basis of truth. He knows that if he drops things, they fall, so therefore he does not stand too close to the edge of buildings. He knows that in the wintertime, it gets colder than it is in the summertime, so therefore he takes out his winter clothes. He knows many, many truths, but what he isn't saying essentially is that the truths that he can know through his own brain, although his brain, of course, to his own theology does not function correctly, are better known than the truths which come from God. The words of Jesus, which I paraphrased before, state that Jesus came to earth to bear witness to the truth and that everyone committed to the truth hears his voice. Jesus died on the cross to bear witness to the truth, to verify, to transmit truth. Jesus lived his whole life so that the truth would set us free. The Protestant says that there are certain things he can know. He can know what country he lives in. He can know what president of the United States currently is in office. He can know how much he gets paid. He can know the mileage on his car. He can know that things fall. He can know that fire gives off heat. But when it comes down to the real basic truths, what is right, what is wrong, What did God mean? What does God want us to do? How is a man to be saved? What does it mean to be born again? What does this passage in Scripture mean? What does the nature of Scripture mean? What was Jesus? Etc., etc. What is his church? Did he find a church? Where is his church today? These basic issues in which the God of all the universe, in which the God who is truth, has established a procedure by which man can come to truth, because that's what Jesus promised us, has worked out the universe so that we may know truth, has instilled in man's heart and brain and mind knowledge, methods by which he may determine truth, come to that state of knowledge. When it comes to this, the Protestant denies, in fact, that God does such things. As a matter of fact, in reality, the Protestant functions in a truthful area, in a truthful world, except in one area, and that is the area of religion. In every other area, he accepts absolutes. In the area of religion, he denies them. Interestingly enough, it's the only area in which God promises us absolutes. And, therefore, what the Protestant is saying is that God failed, or, to put it another way, that he does not exist. Doesn't really matter how you put it. Either way, it cannot be a Christian statement. And this is essentially the key point of Protestantism and truth. The Protestant denies its daily functioning in the religious area, because he denies God's functioning in the religious area. And a religion without God is nothing more than a human philosophical system with some ethical background to it. Or maybe it doesn't even rise to that level. It wallows down instead into a miasmic swamp of mere solipsism, of mere I do what I feel, what I think, what I like. Because that is what Protestantism is. Doing whatever you like, calling it good, believing whatever you want, calling it faith. Saying whatever you want things to be, calling that truth. And presenting it all to something you call God on a take-it-or-leave-it basis. That is a very good definition of Protestantism. So what we have seen in this case, examining Protestantism merely from the inside, from an analytical point of view, is that the concept of truth, the acknowledgement of truth, the role of truth, has no place in Protestantism theory, in theology, in practice, or behavior. And the mere fact that Protestants, of course, reject this only shows further that they do not believe what they say they believe, they do not hold what they say they hold, and they do not live by what they say they live by. But then again, if you are Protestant, you already knew that. And if you weren't a Protestant or aren't a Protestant, well then, open your eyes and be grateful that you're not as misled as those people are. There are related tapes on this subject matter, specifically Protestantism and infallibility, the Protestant view of Scripture, the God of the Protestant, and the Protestant lifestyle. Also available from those tapes not in the Protestant category are Knowledge and the Elements of Logic and the Philosophy of Immanuel Kant. I suggest you obtain them, and I hope that you will listen to this tape and profit from it, because truth is very important for you. It's very important for your salvation, and it's very important for you to function as a human being. Additional copies of this tape, or any of the other tapes mentioned, or a free catalog, may be obtained by writing to All Roads Ministries, which you may abbreviate ARM, 55 Palen, Palen, Road, number 38, Hopewell Junction, New York, 12533. Hopewell is one word and spelt as it sounds. Thank you for listening. God bless.